After John 11:35, Jesus wept. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16, rejoice always. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Luke chapter 17 and verse number 32 is one of the shortest verses in the New Testament. Just three words. Remember Lot's wife. Yet these three words pack a great punch. They are red letter words, meaning that they are from the very mouth of Jesus. They are a direct command to remember Lot's wife. The Old Testament scripture our Lord is referring to is not much longer, just 12 to 15 words in most versions. It's Genesis chapter 19 and verse 26. But his wife from behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Of course, we need the preceding 25 verses for the immediate context, and the preceding six chapters, especially Genesis chapters 13, chapter 14, and chapter 18, for the broader context of that statement in Genesis 19:26. But reading these chapters, we discover that although the angels had her by the hand to take her out of Sodom, Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Now, most Bible scholars agree that this was more than a secretive backward glance. She looked back longingly. The reason for her disobedience is not given for us in Scripture. Could it have been that it was her daughters or her sons-in-law who mocked Lot and refused to leave the city that she was looking back for? Was it her house and the material things that she would have to leave behind? Might it have been her social position or the culture which she had grown to understand and to be a part of? Was it disbelief that God would actually destroy the righteous along with the wicked? Whatever reason lay behind her sin, Lot's wife died with Sodom. When Abraham looked across the plains early the next morning, all he saw was the smoke of the land ascending like the smoke of a furnace. Genesis 19, verses 27 and 28. But that raises the question, what should we remember about Lot's wife? What is it that Jesus is calling us to remember? We should remember that she was married to a godly man. When we think about Lot, he was a man of which the men of Sodom resented his rebuking, saying that he was acting like a judge. Genesis 19 and verse 9. Surely Lot made many mistakes in his life, but yet the inspired apostle calls him just and righteous. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. And as it was that Abraham, the father of the faithful, was Lot's uncle, he became Lot's wife's uncle by marriage. And so she had a godly uncle as well. Married to a godly man and having a godly uncle, she was surrounded by godly people. When we think about Lot's wife, we ought to recall that she was warned of the danger. A message from the angel of God warned her, escape for your life. Do not look behind you. Genesis 19 and verse 17. God gave her both time and opportunity to escape. And this thought should evoke in our minds the memory that she nearly escaped. She started out, she made it an effort to be saved. She grabbed the hand of the angel and fled from Sodom. But, and a huge but, she looked back. Surely we recall then that she became a pillar of salt. She made the wrong decision, the wrong choice. And as one preacher used to say, she was convinced but not converted. Even as she ran through the gates of the city, her heart was still inside the city. She disobeyed, therefore, a very clear command of God and received a just penalty. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 2. Jesus commanded us to remember Lot's wife, Luke chapter 17 and verse 32, with a clear implication that we can learn from her bad example. Our purpose this evening is to think about family and remember some good examples that will help us in strengthening our own families. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 12 reads, "Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you." Peter was ready to call to remembrance those things which the brethren needed to be reminded of. We need to be reminded this evening of several individuals and the lessons which they present to us so that we may never forget. Remember Jesus' mother. In John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, we find a very important occasion in which there is that incident involving Jesus' mother. Without a doubt, Mary is the most famous mother in the Bible, in the world for that matter. She was certainly correct when she praised God for the miracle birth and said, "From this time on, all generations will count me blessed." Luke chapter 1 and verse 48. It was at the wedding in Cana of Galilee where Jesus performed His first miracle that Mary spoke to the servants and she said, "Whatever He says to you, do it." John chapter 2 and verse 5. Do whatever Jesus says. That is the best advice any mother has ever given. And so we would do well to remember Jesus' mother. Mothers, if you teach your children to do whatever Jesus says, they will rise up to bless you and to call you blessed. Proverbs 31, verse 28. We should remember Jesus' mother, and we should also remember Jemima's father. Now, you may not readily recall Jemima or who Jemima's father is. The Bible says, "In all the land, no women were found so fair as Job's daughters, and their father gave them inheritance among their brothers." Job chapter 42 and verse 15. In Job 42 and verse 14, the names of those daughters are given, the first of which was Jemima. If these daughters were anything like their father, they were beautiful on the inside as well as their outward appearance. God Himself said of Job, their father, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." Job chapter 1 and verse 8. And so we consider Jemima's father. We consider Job and his regular custom of praying for his children. Early in the morning, he would rise up and offer sacrifices, a burnt offering for each of them, just in case, Job 1 verse 5, they had sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Note also Job chapter 42 and verse 10 concerning Job in his prayers. It says there that Job prayed for his friends. Fathers, if you are concerned enough about your children's spiritual welfare to pray for them every day, then you have a good start on bringing them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. There are other fathers mentioned in similar light in the Scriptures. We assume that Cornelius was a father from the use of the word household in Acts chapter 10 and verse 2. The verse says that he was a devout man, one who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. When Peter came to preach to Cornelius, this man had gathered a large crowd of his relatives and close friends. Acts chapter 10, verse 24 and 27. For sure, we can be assured of the fact that if Cornelius was a praying man and had gathered all these people in his house to hear the gospel, and he had prayed for them as well. Before we leave remembering Jemima's father, we might want to note that Jemima was an aunt. Hence the title of tonight's lesson. Job chapter 42 and verse 16 sets that forth. Nevertheless, we are called to remember Aunt Jemima's father, Job. Remember also Timothy's grandmother. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5, Paul remembered her. Paul remembered her as he wrote from a Roman prison. Near the end of his life, he said that he was remembering Timothy's sincere faith, which first lived in the young preacher's grandmother, Lois, and in his mother, Eunice. This godly woman passed her faith on to her daughter and on to her grandson. Now, Timothy did not have the ideal home life, spiritually speaking, taking into account Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, that his father was a Greek, evidently a well-known unbeliever. Lois apparently stepped in to fill in the gap in his life. So the message for grandmothers and grandfathers is, do not neglect the opportunity which you have to influence your grandchildren for Christ. Remember Peter's brother. John chapter 15, verses 35 to 42, Andrew was one of the first disciples called by Jesus. And the first thing that Andrew did after deciding to follow Jesus was to go and to find his brother, and he brought him to Jesus. John 1 and verse 42. This is a far different attitude from that of Cain, who killed his brother in a fit of jealousy and then sarcastically asked God, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Genesis 4 and verse 9. So the message for you and I concerning Peter's brother is that we have brothers and sisters, and we do not need to forget our spiritual responsibility toward those brothers and sisters of both physical and spiritual relation. Remember Peter's mother-in-law. It's told in Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, Mark chapter 1, verse 30, Luke chapter 4, verse 38. All three of the Synoptic Gospel writers mention the fact that after Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law of her fever, she got up from her sickbed and began to serve them. What an example. Saved to serve. Surely there's a lesson somewhere in that. Remember Peter's mother-in-law. Remember also Lot's uncle. Genesis chapter 13, verses 1 through 18. Both Abraham and Lot were very wealthy, wealthy in flocks and herds and tents and servants. Their possessions were so great that the land could not support them while they stayed together. And when quarreling arose between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen, Abraham said, "Please, let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me, and if you go to the left, then I will go to the right, and if you to the right, then I will go to the left." Genesis 13, verses 8 and 9. This passage is important to remember, yet there's one a little later in the text of the book, in the same book, that is just as important, if not more so. The reason why God picked Abraham to be the head of the chosen people and made him the land promise, the nation promise, and the seed promise was Abraham's ability to command his children after him. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19 says, "For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." The lesson concerning Abraham and remembering Lot's uncle is for all mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, grandparents, grandchildren, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews. We've covered them all. And that is to remember Lot's uncle, Abraham. I don't have to tell you that the family system in America is in trouble. This word comes not just from preachers, but from psychologists and social scientists as well. We have a breakdown in the home, a problem in the family system of America, and there seems to be no solution by the ways of the world. Yet there is a solution, and that solution is very simple. It is a call to return back to the way the Lord has revealed for the family to exist within His Word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Wives, you are to love and respect your husbands. Ephesians 5 and verse 33. And Titus chapter 2 verses 4 and 5. Mothers, you are to love your children. Titus 2 and verse 4. Well, all of that being said, there are some important words that form a very fitting conclusion to this lesson. They're found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your sons and your grandsons might fear the Lord your God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall be as frontlets on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Oh, that we should remember the commands of God to teach them diligently to our posterity. Perhaps we would do well at this point in the lesson to remember Lazarus and Martha's sister Mary. In Mark chapter 14, and verse number 8, it was said of her, "She has done what she could." Have you? Have you done what you can to prepare for the Lord's second coming? Have you heard the word, Romans 10 and verse 17? Have you believed Jesus to be the Son of God? John 3 and verse 16. Have you repented of sin? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Have you confessed Christ as the Son of God? Romans 10, 9 and 10. And have you been baptized for the remission of sins? Mark 16 and verse 16 and Acts 2 and verse 38. Have you lived faithfully to the Lord to this day? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Remember Lot's wife. She was surrounded by godly influences. She was given time and opportunity. Yet we know her ultimate faith. Do not let this opportunity, the one that God has given to you tonight, to pass by without doing that which is needed. Tonight, the Lord's invitation is extended to all who need to respond. And if that be you, then respond as together we stand and as we sing.